It's hard to actually speak command line.
If you have a few minutes, you can try to run this command in your virtual machine and also replace this word here with tech live and tech live dash latex dash extra. This is all one word. This is all one word. They're big files and they're going to take a while to come down and install into the computers. That's your research tools password. There's only going to be more passwords throughout the semester too, so it's going to get even more confusing. Number one. Yeah, I realize we're at the point where if I don't do it quick, we're in trouble.
I'm looking forward to being able to just, for the security reason, knowing how to keep passwords in here.
We assume that you have no computer background in here.
I've been wondering for a few classes now why. I understand like the virtual machine and why we want to have a separate space to work, but why do we have code? Why can't you just have like a file where you go click in something and start a program and why does that all exist?
We're gonna get towards that. Okay. There's two sort of things going on here. One is you want to be able to work as you go. If you get some new data, you have to build something up as you go. Okay. And if you type it in a file and have to rerun it every time, you're going to go a little kooky.
Right.
Because what if the setup is 80 steps to get where you are, and you don't know that last step, and some of them might take time?
Right.
It might be such that you need to get it part way and then work with that temporary data and try lots of things. And doing it just from a file gets difficult.
Right.
In the end, you're going to want to have both.
I see.
You want to have a file where you run things from, or probably more likely many, many files.
Yeah.
And then you're also going to have the command line and the shells where you can type stuff as you go.
And it's kind of like a working system.
It's a flow, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's tough because if I try to show it all to you at once, you're just going to go, what?
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of stuff without the big picture,
right,
which I know is frustrating.
Yeah, that's where I get lost because I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Thank you.
We're definitely down in the weeds doing these little pieces.
Okay.
So I've also typed the command into the IRC channel, if you want to copy and paste it from the IRC channel. And it is also hiding in today's notes. If you're on the class website, which I've made a nice little short link for, so you all can use the tinyurl.com/researchtools2011 if you want to jump there without having to know how to spell my last name and do all sorts of stuff. But this will be lecture 6 for 2011. 09:15. Is anybody having any luck getting these to install? Do we have any success? Oh, good. Good. It's going to say lots and lots of stuff at you and work for a while. You misspelled research. Whoops. You're missing just the extra at the end there.
Extra. Yeah.
I press return. And then it's going to ask you yes or no to continue. This is going to test your typing accuracy.
Yeah.
So you're going to learn to read. If you've noticed, sometimes there's been spaces, and sometimes there's not been spaces around our dashes. It'll take a while to always figure that out. But apt-get, this is one word. There's no spaces in there. Emacs-goodies-el, there's no spaces in that. Same thing up here. There's no spaces in here. That's one word. It doesn't matter where you are.
Okay.
When you're installing software, it's going into the system as a whole in the virtual machine, so it doesn't really matter too much.
If I wanted to get out of this and just go back to...
You can always go back to your home directory by just typing cd.
Okay, I don't need to tell it cd, home directory.
You can say, you could also do cd tilde, and that would do the same thing.
You can install multiple things in the same line.
You can. I was getting lazy.
That's what you did on that one?
Yeah. Sometimes they'll fight with each other. If one thing wants to set up its world without the other one installed, they might get grumpy, but that's uncommon. We need to install some software for class today, and it's big. And if we all try to do it in the middle of class, we'd end up waiting.
Emacs, what I did. Is that different
version? No, it's extras. In English, goodies means like fun extra stuff. There's extra stuff that you need for some of our tools to run correctly today. So I installed the base Emacs, and we also need the goodies to go with it. TextLive, we're going to make some PDFs, and this tool is going to make PDFs for us in the background. You're not going to use it by hand, but if it's not there, your PDF won't build. Aha! This would be the comment about the spaces versus no spaces. So,
so
what I did is I made the mistake of writing this all. I'm just gonna erase this up here. So do it all as one line. This, there's no spaces in there. And so you can do, if someone wants to repaste those commands back in, because I don't think everybody was logged into the chat session, and that will be an L as opposed to a 1. You're gonna run all of these, and then there's one more. Sudo. You can also combine the last thing.
That's where we start, though.
Yeah, it does. The order doesn't matter. That's the nice thing here. You're just installing software, so if it needs something, it'll go get it.
And it's installing it on the virtual machine.
Correct. This is on the virtual machine.
But it used, so does that use like space on this computer's hard drive, or is it like?
Yes. The virtual machine lives on that computer, so any space it gets, it asks the main system for.
Quit out of it. Is it still on?
The files are. The memory's not being used in the RAM.
Okay.
Text log dash.
Could you each one of those three separately?
Yes, you can do them separately. If you're lazy, you can stick these three on the same line together. But this is the explicit way to do it all. I'm going to try and catch up to you guys here. And I'm having to remember the password, too. So I did this on a separate virtual machine. So I'm back where you guys were. I went through preparing for class. And I'm going to have to do it all again so that you see the same thing that I do. So I have to catch up here. So sudo apt. So it was emacs. Did he use el? So our password is. This is the nice thing about Linux and especially Ubuntu is that all this stuff is pre-built. You're not running around the internet trying to find random files. And that can sometimes lead to installing things that are bad. So there I combine the two of them together and off it goes.
Installed.
I can definitely show you that command. That's a fun one. It's confusing. The trouble with Linux is unfortunately there are several different versions of Linux tools for installing, but for Ubuntu, we can say apt cache search, and then we can say like Python, pipe less, and that's going to search for things that are Python. This is stuff that isn't necessarily installed. I think if we just do search. So if we say Python, try the WC command that we used last time. There's 2,300 Python packages that you could install. So there is a ton of software, none of which costs anything to install. Less, you'll see there's all kinds of funny things in here, some of which make sense and other stuff might not mean anything to you. And my install has still got a minute and 45 seconds of downloading to go. We'll go ahead, start the first section. The nice thing about this is there's stuff going on in the background. It doesn't matter for us. We can still go ahead and start with the lecture as long as we didn't need to install something else. You can only be installing in one window. It can't run around and install things from five different windows. It'll get confused and tell you to take a hike. But we're going to start off with today KeePassX. This is our password managing tool that's going to keep track of our passwords, but it's going to keep them in an encrypted file. If you haven't used Dropbox before, this is a service where the cloud keeps a copy of your files. They get synchronized between any computer where you have Dropbox installed on it. It's great, except for there's some security worries about this. With KeePassX, it's not a problem because we're only going to put an encrypted file onto our Dropbox. So we're going to go ahead and set up KeePassX for us. This is a tool that you can use on Mac, Linux, Windows, all three platforms. It's missing iPhones, iPads, and Android devices. So if you've got those, you may have to find another service if you really want to have your KeePass file with you at all times on your phone. And then you might have to look at something like 1Password that actually costs. Hopefully someday in the near future, KeePassX will end up on phones. So we're going to go ahead and add to this virtual machine up at the top an alias so that we can get to this fast. So I'm going to right click on this top bar, do an add to panel like we did with our Emacs and our terminal last time. I'm going to go back to this application launcher and press forward. Before I forget today, Will has set up a video camera pointing at me in this whiteboard. So we'll see about if video actually works out for this class or not. But we're going underneath accessories, and you'll see this thing that looks like a key, and I'm not sure what the, I guess it's just a key with a weird big cross on it. So select KeyPass X, press add, and up at the top, you're gonna see a KeyPass X appear. Yes, I think I had to add it. And so I have a note file that's got everything that I've added to the virtual machine so that if you left here without the virtual machine, but just with the notes, you should be able to completely reproduce everything I've done. The goal is that there's nothing here that's special and you can't take away with you. So inside of that, go ahead and hit that button while I try and make my window bigger and start up KeyPass X. And you should see a menu like this, a little graphical interface. This tool, right now it's not pointing to any file, so we need to open up a new database. So there's open for an existing stuff, new for when we want to create one. Now here, you're going to watch me do this. I'm going to show you passwords, so I'm not going to do anything fancy. But for you, you need to pick a good password, remember that password. If you forget this password, all of your other passwords go away for good. So that basically means you're not going to get this back. If you're the NSA, you could pull it off, but not for us. Pick a password. I'm going to pick demo. That's not a good password. This way I can actually remember it through the class. I'm going to write it on the whiteboard so I don't forget. You're going to pick a password that's pretty good and memorable. And it's got numbers, letters, maybe some punctuation in it.
Can you ever change your master password?
I haven't tried to change a master password. I'm pretty sure you can. If nothing else, you can open up a new file and you can copy all of your entries into it. So I've now picked demo. Type it again. So here I'm going to type demo. If you can, pick a real password that you're going to keep. If you need to stick it in a notepad, put it in your wallet and then lock it in a safe somewhere else. That's okay. But don't show it to your neighbor. This should absolutely not be your CCOM password. It should not be your Wiki password. It shouldn't be your government password you use when if you work for a government agency. It should be something that you've not used anywhere else, ever. Password recycling is a very bad idea. I know it makes it easier, but this tool is here so that you have to remember one password and you have to make a good password. The rule of thumb that people often use is change that every 6 months. Here, I've had to change 100 passwords every 6 months and you go nuts. That's just a lot of work and you forget one every time. It's just miserable. This way, you remember one and only one password, and this tool takes care of everything else for you. So we're going to go ahead and hit save before we do anything so that we don't lose our data. What I typically do is I would call mine by my name, just in case this file gets dissociated from your stuff. It's always going to be encrypted, so if it ends up on someone else's computer, it's not the end of the world. But I would pick your name so it's obvious to you, and other people, when they try to open it, they'll see it's you. They might want the passwords, but they can't get them. Hit save, and we've now got ourselves a place to put all of our nice passwords that we're going to be creating and that we've created in the past. So let's go ahead and create one for this class, because we're all going to have the same password for the Research Tools account, and we want to hang on to that. The save, under File, File, Save, and then just pick your name, and it will save it in your home directory. I'll do a Save As here just to show back where that was. And if you don't have this directory listing in here, you can always get it from this Browse Other Folders little arrow that turns over. And you just want to save it in, it'll look like Research Tools, that's your home directory for this account. And once we get Dropbox set up, we're going to move this file over into Dropbox so that you can use it for multiple machines and not just have it in your virtual machine, because that would be frustrating. So now it looks...
Did I just make a folder with your name?
You just need to save the file. So we need to save. Save database. I'm going to do save as because otherwise it's already saved. Up here where it says name, just use your name. So if you see down here, I've already done it. In the directory listing, there's going to be this kurtschwer.kdb. So this is an encrypted container. So whenever we save it, we're not going to worry that our passwords have been given away to the bad guys. And we're going to go up to Groups and Add New Group. And when it comes to groups, it's up to you how you want to put them together. I'm going to lead you into one group because we're going to have a lot of passwords related to CCOM, we're going to say add new group, and the group's going to be CCOM. If you'd like, you can pick a funny icon. Most of these icons mean very little to me. This is like a heart with three different colors, or I don't know what that is. So now you've clicked OK, and now you have a CCOM folder. You have an email folder it came with, an internet folder it came with nothing in any of it. So select the CCOM folder. Excellent. And if you put something in the wrong folder, don't worry about it. It's easy to sort things and move them around. Pick your favorite icon or just leave it with the default. Let's create an entry. Add new entry under entries. And if you start doing this a lot, there are nice shortcuts to this. So you can, as you go through and add a lot of accounts, you're trying to consolidate things. So add new entry. It's going to give you this nice display of everything that's here. And we'll go through it twice. Once for the research tools one, which is simple, and then we'll walk through some of the advanced features. For a title, think about what you might search on. So research tools 2011 virtual machine is what I'm going to put. Because I might search for virtual machine, I might search for research tools, I might search for 2011. You want to make it easy on yourself. Then go to the username section of the tab and type research tools exactly as you would type it into the console. URL, if this were like a website like yahoo.com or google.com or something like that, then you would put the URL in for it. Here we don't have one. In this case, when we type a password, it's going to hide it for us. That's nice. In a room like this, if you're typing in a secret password, you don't want it up on, like for me, I don't want it up on the screen so everyone could see it. I'm going to change that though, in this case, and go ahead and do this yourself. There's an eyeball here. Click the eyeball, then you can see what you're typing. If you're by yourself on a laptop or a computer where you know people aren't staring over your shoulder, then you can go ahead and hit that button. And our password is an exclamation point, RT2011VM. And you have to type it again to make sure that you don't screw it up. And here you can type whatever comment you felt like. So we could say Ubuntu Linux 11.04 ESCi 895-03 if you want to write the course number or whatever you might search on. If this password is going to expire and you know it's going to expire a certain time, you could set that up here. And at that point, we're ready to hit OK and save our first password into this little database. So I'm going to hit OK. So let's say we wanted to create a new account and we need a new password. So we'll go ahead and create something new. And there's these three buttons up here, which are also the equivalent of the menus. So this left one with the little green arrow and a wrench is add new entry. It's the same as doing entries, add new entry. So we'll click that. We're going to call this one test. We're just messing around. Username test to be boring. And we need to pick a password. This is the point where the program can really help you. Let's turn on the eyeball for making it easy. We're going to type this gen button in here, which means generate. So let's generate a new password. And this gives you a tool that will help you build a password for you. And you're going to give it some parameters and then hit the button generate at the end. It's going to create a password. So down here, there's again another eyeball. Make sure that eyeball has blue in it. So you click on it, if it's grayed out, you want to see blue. And you can select what's going to be in the password. And this password is going to be unreadable. So we're going to allow uppercase letters, lowercase letters, numbers, white spaces, the minus sign, the underline, special characters. It's often wise to click the exclude lookalike characters. That's the 1 and the L and the O and the 0. Those really can be painful. A good thing to do is also ensure the password contains characters from every group. Check that. So we've checked everything possible here. We said we want the password to be 25 characters long. It's telling us this is a 163-bit password, which is pretty good. And we're going to hit the generate button. And there is our very ugly password. I'd like you to all memorize that, and we'll have a test at the end of the day. This is the kind of password that you can use that's super secure, but will drive you crazy. If you have to type this, especially on a phone or like a tablet where you don't have a full keyboard, it's going to suck. So let me show you what you might do typically, especially for passwords you're going to have to use elsewhere. If you do know the password you want, you could type it in. There's also a pronounceable thing where you can come over here and you can hit generate, and it will generate something that tries to be pronounceable. Div no jur ba 8 quest fuck, yeah, whatever. That's no fun. What I typically do for sites that I need to be able to type that, say, into an iPhone, iPad, or Android tablet, is I'll pick something more manageable size, like 15 is still pretty good. I'll turn off the special characters, the white spaces, the minus, the underline, and the uppercase letters. It's hard to do uppercase letters on a tablet. You usually have to hit a shift button and it goes away after every character. So this way, you'll have, you can probably turn off the lookalike characters here, it'll be okay. Here, if we hit generate, here we have VXF2UVL9M2VM2Z1. Not terrible. You know, you could live with that password and you might actually be able to memorize it after a couple months of using it all the time. But this is not a bad password. If you have to look at this on a computer screen and then type it into a phone, it's not terrible. You hit OK, your password's now in there, and you now have a password that's not too bad. It's very secure, and you can probably survive typing this in if you had to do it. Hit OK, and we now have a little test account. And if we have a terminal, we're just going to go ahead and play. If you go up to an account, so if we select test, so highlight on your menu test. If you right click on this, you're going to get a couple different options. If you notice, the username has got stars through it in the background menu and the password's got stars going through it. There's two cases where this might help you. One is if we're in a room like this, if I show my actual KeePassX file, which I can actually do for you. So I'm going to drag my KeePassX file with real passwords over to the screen so you can see it. You can see, you know, my AGU account, my Amazon, my Apple, Bitbucket, Delicious, Google, etc., etc. You can't tell my username or my password from this file. So if you see it over my shoulder, I'm not worried about you getting my password, and I'm going to hide it now. What you can do is then say copy username to clipboard. And if we go over to this terminal and we go edit paste just to see it, there's the username. Not very exciting, it's test. And if we go back here, right click again, copy the password, you could go over to a website and paste in that password, paste. And there's the password get pasted in where you couldn't, if you were in an actual website, that would not show up. So that way, if someone's looking over your shoulder, you can log into a website and nobody has seen your password. They'll probably see your username. Most sites show you your username, but at least the password has been protected. Now, don't forget, after each change, this thing does not autosave. So file, save database. After every change you make, highly recommend you save it. Otherwise, you may have updated a website and lost that password, and hopefully the password recovery system then works. So now we have a password container. So as I take you to various websites, you have to create accounts. I'm going to expect you to go and create a new account, use that password generator, and create some password that gets the job done. So if you don't have a Dropbox account for the next section, you're going to put that in here, save that file. We're then going to be able to record your Dropbox password. Now, here, if we're using Dropbox and KeePassX, you probably need to keep in a safe someplace offsite your master password for KeePassX and your Dropbox password, because if you walk up to a new machine and all of your computers have been stolen, you need to be able to get that password back for Dropbox to get to your KeePassX file, and then you have to have the master password too. So you'll need to hang on to two passwords. Now, this has got versions for the Mac, for Windows, and Linux. So if you go back to your office, you can download onto your Windows machine, or if you've got whatever operating system, you can download KeePassX and you can use the same file on it. That way you can work between machines and you get to keep all of your passwords. If you're like me, you might have 50, 100 passwords for websites. For the university, I have 10 or 15 passwords for all the crazy computers. I have a different password for CCOM than I have got for Blackboard. All that stuff goes in here, and then you take it out of your brain and you throw it away. Next topic is going to be Dropbox.
Thanks for showing us this.
Sure. This is the one thing that if you pick up anything out of class and you use nothing else, KeyPass X, I only found out about this about 6 months ago, but it actually passed the NOAA review. So we have one of our IT admins actually has his password file in Dropbox, and he uses that, and the security folks took a look at it and gave him a thumbs up. So it made it past the folks from DC in the government who do audits. We think it's a pretty good way to go. And it's free. If you use one password, and it gets expensive fast. Okay, so Dropbox. The concept of Dropbox is that you've got files all over the place. You've already seen in this class, you're not at your normal work computer. We've got you on classroom computers, but you want your files with you. You need to be able to share stuff around, and it needs to be able to follow you. So there's lots of services out there that use the cloud to basically have a home store somewhere out there, probably in the middle of a desert someplace with armed guards around some weird building. And as you go to each computer, you log into the service and it will then update the files on that computer. So if you write a Word document for your class, you then go over to a lab computer. If you sign into that, you want that Word doc to magically appear on the computer there. If they actually had a mountable file system, you could use that. But if you're switching between very widely varying organizations, say you switch from East Coast to West Coast, from one university to another university, those files wouldn't then follow you. So here with Dropbox, and there's a whole bunch of other services, we can sign up for that and we can get a free account of 2 gigabytes. And if, since you're all educational users, if you use your UNH email address or anything that's .unh.edu, some of you have a CCOM email address, then you'll get some extra space, and if you refer people, you get an extra 500 megabytes. So you'll end up with basically the equivalent of a 2.5 gigabyte flash drive that you can run around with, but you don't have to carry anything. There's one really big drawback in addition to security, and that's if you go on a ship and you don't have internet, it's not there. The nice thing though is if you have like a laptop or a drive, you can sync that up on a computer that does have it, pull that out of the wall, take it on the ship with you, and you'll have at least a snapshot of when you left. If someone steals your computer and your KeyPass X file is on there and your critical presentation for class next week is on there, you can then borrow a computer from someone and get back to work. So it's really nice to have a service like this. If you already have a Dropbox account, that's great. We're going to go ahead and install the software for Dropbox. And then if you don't have an account, create one. And I just want to warn you, I'm going to give you a link that's my referral link. It's kind of weird. I feel strange about this because I get a little extra kickback of file space for if you guys sign up using that link. So if you think that's not okay and I'm feeling questionable about this, feel free to use a referral link from someone else in the class, or if you have one in your email from somebody else, use that. And once you get an account, you can refer friends and family and coworkers, but be nice. They might not appreciate requests for, hey, please join this service, and then I get a bonus. You know, it's one of these pyramid schemes. People aren't necessarily happy that they're getting spammed by everybody asking for a referral. Question.
Why Dropbox?
Why Dropbox? There's lots of them. Dropbox is probably the most popular and common one. It gives you 2 free gigs. UNH will give you, as a part of being a student, I don't get this, but all the students get it, is the Wildcat email now comes with a Microsoft SkyDrive with 25 gigabytes, which is nice, but that doesn't work on Linux. It doesn't work on the Mac except for through a web browser. You have a 25 gig drive that you've actually paid for by being here. Your tuition, however that's paid, covers that, but we can't use it inside of Linux, so we haven't used the SkyDrive.
For instance, a drive is 15 gigabytes?
A drive. Oh, yes, the A drive service. There's many services. Yes, there's many services, and in fact, in the notes, there's a link to a Wikipedia page with about 100 services in it. A lot of them don't run on Linux, and a lot of them don't run on the Mac. I'm trying to give you something that works everywhere, is free, and at least gives you some reasonable amount of space. 2 gigabytes is actually going to be pretty good for this class. Most of our files are going to be text and very small. If you have another service that you use, you can use that for other things, but for this class, I'm only going to show you how to use Dropbox. Dropbox, you can use it through a web browser. You can also install software that does it automatically. So we're going to do the automatic version. So if you haven't created an account on Dropbox already, going to bring this over here and show you this URL. So if you type in this link right there, this is the one where I get extra space, and I feel a little guilty. You can do this on the virtual machine, or you can do it on Windows. It doesn't matter. It's just in a web browser. Great. Excellent excuse to use the IRC channel. So it probably, if I click on this, it's not going to look like you'll see, but open a new tab. So you'll see create an account. You put in your first name and last name. You don't have to use a UNH email address, but I strongly recommend it, because if you afterwards go, after class, go to this www.dropbox.com/edu, you can see that you actually get a special deal for being a student. They always want to get you more hooked on this stuff, so they'll definitely sell you 100 gigabytes for a lot more. But they're just definitely trying to get you hooked on it by adding a little more space and then getting other people hooked on it. So here's a little ad where a dad is getting a kid hooked on it as they go off to school. But it's up to you if you want to hook your parents or not, or your siblings. So go ahead and create a Dropbox account. As you're building up the password, use that KeyPassX for storing your password. I'm going to go ahead and log into mine. So here's what I'm going to see in Dropbox.
What becomes your username, your email?
Yes. So if you look up here, here's my last name at ccom.unh.edu. Oh, are you on the install stage? Yeah, I'll go right through that. So we're the 32-bit one, so make sure you don't click on the 64-bit one. But we'll do all that. I don't know if you're 32-bit or 64-bit. You'll have to figure out. Since you're using Ubuntu on your laptop, you'll have to figure out whether you're 64-bit or 32-bit. Remember to not do exactly as I do.
Yeah.
Now, if you're on your Windows computer here at CCOM, you may be able to install it as a user. I'm talking to Jordan about how to manage the CCOM computers, because we don't want to put Dropbox on every computer by default, because what happens then is everybody who logs in to any account, whether they have Dropbox or not, will get the Dropbox login question. I'm going to push you guys command line as much as possible. So you'll see stuff in the GUI, but I'm going to try and push you back towards that command line just to keep you thinking about the command line.
But I want to log into it on my virtual machine. And is there a different place to go?
So you use the Windows web browser, and then you're logging into it?
This is Firefox.
Yep.
Web browser in the virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to log in.
Top right, log in. Yep, you can also copy and paste from that KeyPassX file if you've got your password in there. So no, we're going to install it inside of the virtual machine, and then you're going to use it on Windows from the web browser. And we're working on how to handle it at CCOM so that you can actually mount that on your Windows. So once you have the account, go ahead and stop, and we'll go ahead and install those tools inside of Linux. Now, this is not open source software, so they can't put the software in the Ubuntu packaging system. We have to download the software otherwise. It's not the way I'd like it to be. But if you go in the class notes, this crazy line here, I'm going to paste this into the IRC chat, and this wget command is going to do exactly what's on their install page. So in here, you can run it either way. It's whichever you prefer doing. Copy and paste should go across the virtual machine and the Windows. This is the command I'm about to try and run. I'm going to paste it in the IRC, and if I switch over to the virtual machine, if I go to my terminal and I... So this is the command I'm going to give it a shot and see what happens. Now, if you're in the middle of a command and you want to delete it all because it's not the right one, Control-U in that window will wipe everything that's on that terminal. So if I go back to my virtual machine and I'm in here and I don't like what I've got, I hit Control-U That deletes from the cursor to the front, and then I can start over. So I'm going to go ahead and paste that command back in with the quotes. We hit enter. Should run off and grab that file. We're going to go back and do the web browser, and we'll do the NOM command line way. This is the nice thing about having both, is that we can always fall back to the other way. So we'll jump here, copy that. So the link's in the IRC. And now if we paste that in there, we're going to go ahead and download this. So 64 means it's the 64-bit version of our operating system. We're running the 32-bit version, and that's just x86, and that's just the type of processor we have. Right-click that, save link as, and this will at least show you where you're going to. So right now it wants to put in your downloads. I would put it in your research tools, right in your home directory.
Yep. Did you do that inside your virtual machine?
I'm doing this inside of the virtual machine. Good question. Yeah, you're going to watch me flip back and forth. So.
Okay. Open
yep, the Firefox icon should be at the top up there. So paste that URL in. Where we're on this page, Dropbox, and you can right-click on that link. So paste it up here at the top. Then on here, you'll right-click. Save link as. Downloads, it's okay, but I would suggest clicking on research tools, your home directory there. Press save. I already have one, so I'm going to replace it, but you shouldn't have one. Now if we go, if you're on the page with all the files, there's a save button in the bottom right. You've chosen by selecting under places. The third one down says research tools, that's your home directory. I'm going to show you guys a quick trick, but it's worth knowing. So if you look here, we have this Nautilus, Dropbox, some numbers, .deb. Run the command md5sum, and then Nautilus, Dropbox, .deb. If your checksum number, so what this is it runs an algorithm on the file and computes a number that matches the data in there. It's very rare for this number to match up on two files. So if you see a number that starts in 64, ends in 21 for your Nautilus Dropbox file, that means you have the right file. So it's md5sum. md5 is sometimes around, but on this one it's md5sum right here. This is the command I ran. It's returning a big number, and this number, we're going to use this number a whole bunch later on in the semester. This is a checksum of the data in the file.
Mine is, well, I think it's bigger than yours.
It's not bigger, it's different. And Control C, yeah, you have to give it the file name. So Control C. So md5sum space, and then NAU tab. And so you save this in home folder. Move to home folder is good. And by the end of the semester, you won't be using the GUI.
That would be awesome.
We'll have you using all command line all the time.
Excellent.
Type md5sum. md5sum, NAU, and then press that tab key. This is one button. If I write tab, that means hit that tab key, don't type out all five characters. And you should see something that looks like, it starts in 64, and did you run an md5sum on it?
Yep, I got this.
Okay, it looks like...
64.
You have something funky with it.
Okay.
So re-download the file. So go back to the web page. Firefox inside of. Easy. Yeah. Copy the link from the web the class notes.
This one.
Yeah. So copy that link. Go over to the virtual machine. Open Firefox. There's that little button up at the top there with a little Firefox wrapped around a globe. Now paste into. So highlight the whole. Yep. Now Control V. Hit enter.
No, yeah, mine was different. It just
press the free download and see what happens.
Actually, no,
there we go. That's yeah, it. So right-click that one, save link as. Now click the down button here, and research tools is your home directory. Press save. Now it's going to So go back to the terminal. Do an ls space dash ltr, enter. Oh, you're in your examples folder.
Yeah.
Go back to the terminal. Do you see how you're in /examples is telling you where you are? Mm-hmm. Go type cd, press enter. That'll take you to your home directory. Do an ls-ltr again. Now you see you have an Nautilus file, and it's actually bigger. Now run md5 on that file right there. So md5 sum space nau tab. Excellent. Now hit enter, and yeah, perfect. Okay. So now, if I've managed to download the right file for you guys, we can install it. And this command right here in the notes, sudo dpackage-i, this is a way to install the actual blob of files that are going to go in as a software package. When we do apt-get, this is happening behind the scenes. You don't really need to understand what this is. Maybe by the end of the semester, you'll have a good feel for this. If you don't, it's okay. I just wanted you to see it done once. There's instructions elsewhere. So we'll go back into here, and if you paste that, and I'll put this in the IRC channel. So you're going to run sudo dpackage-i means install, and then our Dropbox Debian package. If you're already there, hit enter. That should be in the terminal. It's going to ask for your research tool's password, and it should go crazy and do all kinds of stuff. It's going to pop up this window about restarting Nautilus, and I haven't explained very much about the graphical interface that comes with Ubuntu. I'll just sort of point at the screen and give you a hint that the stuff that runs around here is GNOME, so all these little buttons and whatnot, and Nautilus is that file browser. Some of you have actually brought up the sort of a graphical representation of folders. It's very much like Windows Explorer. That's called Nautilus on the system. So when you see Nautilus, that's what it means, the Windows Explorer. Go ahead and hit restart once, and I believe it leaves you with the same view. It's kind of weird. So hit restart, and it's still there. It's like, thanks. What you need to do after that is hit next. Dropbox start required. So if you look up, before you hit start, look at the top right, and there's these little icons in here. We should see a new one appear here for Dropbox. So press Start Dropbox, some little advertisement, OK. In a few seconds, Dropbox will be going. Oh, it's going to do this little window of progressing along. It's downloading the actual program that is Dropbox. I already have a Dropbox account. So you'll put this in, and then you'll type in your name and password. I don't actually know my Dropbox password, but KeePassX does. And I'm going to be brave here and bring over my actual KeePassX and show you guys here. There's a search window up top. And if I just type Dropbox and hit enter, it does a search through all the folders. And here I have a group called File Sharing and Dropbox. And I can go on this, right click, copy the password to clipboard. And I'm doing this all in front of you, which means that I'm fairly confident in this program not dumping my password right in the middle of the screen so you can all see it. Go over to the virtual machine. If I go in here and I paste, there's my password. I've done it in front of you, and nobody has seen my password. There's this field at the bottom, computer name. When you're logged into Dropbox down the road, if you say leave UNH and move somewhere else and you didn't get a chance to clean up your desks and deauthorize things, you don't necessarily want to have IT teams who are then shuffling and maybe even selling your computer off to the world with authorization to use that computer for your Dropbox files. There's a little thing where you can go in on the web and deauthorize that computer, and it will never be able to update and get new files. Pick something that means something to you here. For me, I was playing with Ubuntu, a virtual machine on my desktop, and then I've got one on my laptop. So here I've named it laptop. If you don't type in, yeah, if you just hit next, you're okay. Our room number, that's a good choice. This is room 142. So I'm going to hit next, and they're going to try and sell you something. So you don't want to type what I've typed here, laptop, is what I picked. So you're going to want to pick something else like classroom, or you just need to give it a name. It's your choice.
Any name, okay.
Any name that you think matters for this room is great. If you've gotten to the point where it's trying to sell you more stuff, click normal, click just the 2 gigabyte one. And if you get to that, the next one is typical versus advanced. You want typical. You guys are advanced students in graduate school, but we'll just do the typical stuff. You need to click the forgot password, and you're going to have to work on this and try to catch up. So you're going to have to figure out what password you do and do a password reset. Type ls space dash ltr. So we're doing a long listing reverse sorted. Now hit enter. So you see now we've got that. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do that check up there with the md5 sum. So type md5 sum space nau, press tab. Okay, press enter. And now you're going to install that. And that command is dpkg, dpkg, space, dash I, space, nau, and then tab. Now, you also need to have sudo in front, which I forgot. So you can press control A, which will take you to the beginning of the line. So control A, type sudo to get permission to become super user. Yep, now press enter. Type in the research tools password. Okay, so now you're back into the install process. Mm-hmm. It's going to pop up those menus and walk you through, and so try and catch up real quick if you can. Yeah. All right, I am definitely going to change my screensaver time so I stop getting locked out every time I walk around. This is where they try to sell you stuff. Please spend $10 a month or $20 a month with us, and we say, nope, I want to stick with the 2 gigs. Next. The typical, yep, I don't want to do anything advanced today. Welcome to Dropbox, skip the tour. You can do a tour if you feel like it. Finish, and it wants the admin password. That admin password is our research tools password.
So in this case, if you had been using two passwords, you would be able to use it.
If you're in the middle of that, it can be challenging. This is, yeah, when you're using a virtual machine though, it's actually nice in that you can know another machine, you can see the password, or you can, if you know it's going to be asking for a password in the middle of a dialog box and not give you the rest of the computer back, as Windows really loves to do, then you can copy the password ahead of time and have it ready to go. Okay. And so you can see in my Dropbox here, I was lazy and only used my first name. Here's my KeePassX file. And if I have it open on multiple machines, it keeps track of that, and it's actually open on my desktop for getting ready for this class, and I forgot to close it, and it knows it's editing it there, so it's got a lock file, and it won't screw up my file with two people editing it at the same time. I'm going to go ahead and close that. Close. Now, if you look up here in Dropbox, I have a lot of junk in mine. There's a little arrow spinning around in a circle. If you're in the back, you probably can't see this. That's it synchronizing files between this computer and everything else that I have. So as you do stuff, it will automatically detect changes and push them between all of your computers. And in my case, I work on about 50 computers, depending on what I'm doing. So having this kind of thing is super important because I've got computers on the West Coast, on the East Coast. So here it said 200 and something files just got pushed around. There's audio files and PowerPoints, and you can see my brown bag talk from last week. And if you've made it to this point, you now have Dropbox. And if you do ls tilde slash Dropbox, you will see your Dropbox data. And the nice thing is, if you have a smartphone, if you're lucky enough to have one of those, you can get a little application on your smartphone and you can go see these files. So my grocery list is in here. I type up on the computer what I need. If I'm at the grocery store and I forget, wait, what do I need to get in the baking section? You know, then it's in there. There's also little applications that will let you edit those files from your phone too. So you can write your thesis from your phone. And if you pull that off, I'll be very impressed. All right, what's going on?
You like to cause trouble, don't you?
Let's take a look here. So I don't see an icon up here, although this is hiding. So there's no icon up here saying Dropbox ran. I'm going to type history to see what you've been doing. And I see you did this command here. Okay, we're going to hide some of these guys. You got lots of stuff open. We'll go ahead and rerun this command. So we're going to go back up to... All right, so see how it popped up a window? Does this look familiar? Did you do this?
Yeah.
So you did restart. Then you did next, start Dropbox. I bet you didn't do that. I already have an account. Next, and then sign in right here. and that should be good. And we are running out of time. I could keep you guys here all day long and we'd all pass out. What we're going to do next is dig into Emacs and creating org mode files. These are a whole outlining slash life planning slash control your world set of applications. We're going to use them not for all of that. We're going to use it just for enough to keep notes. You'll be able to put source code bits and write your homeworks up in org mode and submit those for class assignments. I've been almost to the point where you guys are ready to have some small assignments. I didn't want to throw you to the wolves of the command line without a few days of looking at things. On Tuesday, I'll give you guys a small homework assignment that should, if it goes well, take less than about 20 or 30 minutes at the very most. I will make sure to be around before class when it's due so that you guys can sit down with me and go through it. Now, what Dropbox is here for is if you're working in the virtual machine and you want to save your files after you've been working on stuff, if you work on them in the Dropbox area and you go home, they're still there. They'll be in Dropbox and you can get to them from the web interface. So now that you all have Dropbox accounts, those files are available right here. So if you want to get to them later, like here's a Python script that I was working on. You know, we can pick some program, Aquamax, open. There is the script that I kept around. So if you're working on something, Dropbox is a great way to just have it appear. It's not really a true backup solution. It doesn't keep revision histories very well, but it is very handy. So we'll just have this around for the rest of class. And if we can figure out how to do it right, we'll have it on the Windows machines too, so that you can basically just have files appear on both sides of the Windows and Linux side without worrying about it. Or if you go back to another computer or switch machines in here, those files will follow you between computers as you sign in. If you start switching computers, that virtual machine you have set up on this computer is the one that knows about your Dropbox. So if you guys start switching seats, you're going to have to go through all of this again. And you don't want to do that. Stick to the same desktop for now. If we have a desktop die, you'll have to go back through some of this. I'm going to rebuild a new virtual machine in the next week that's got this stuff in it, except for it won't have your passwords. I don't ever want to know any of your passwords. And if anybody ever asks you for your password, you tell them to take a hike.
Is there a way for us to connect to CPOM network
to your desktop and share stuff that way?
Yeah.
We're going to get to that. Okay. We can definitely mount all sorts of disks from within CPOM or actually around the university. And you all have CIS Unix accounts that are attached to your Blackboard / webmail account. And you can share files with that too. And we'll get into some more of that. So right away next time, we're going to jump right into Emacs and editing. Once we have an editor down that we can start using and you're comfortable with it, then we can really start working with writing scripts and actually doing stuff with code. It's a lot of setup, but the pain is worth it. Short-term pain, long-term gain, right? Okay, guys, it's 12:30. Before you run off real quick, if you save your password and keys, I forgot that. I'm going to go back to the virtual machine here. If you saved it, so I have this kirchware.kdb, and it's if you see a lock next to it, it means you need to go back to your here and do file save database and file quit. Close that up. MV your KDB file to / Dropbox, and that will move your key database into your Dropbox folder. You'll then want to make sure that if you look up here, there'll be a little arrow spinning around where it saw that things happened. You're going to want to see your KDB file in the list of recently changed files from there. I know some of you closed up your machines. If you don't need that password right away and you know your Dropbox password, well, actually, you better know your Dropbox password anyway. Minor details.
Wait, but our Dropbox
password's
in
Keepa.
It's a generated one.
Yeah, so you before you walk out of here, find a piece of paper and write your Dropbox password on it and take that with you for sure, or you're not going to get into it until you're here the next time. And if you want to double check, you can go back to the website for Dropbox, and you can, if I hit refresh up here, All right, there it is. So you'll now see your file appear in there. So I've got mine. I've now saved my demo password, which is super safe.
But can you re-sign into the KeyPass website and then get your file from there?
The KeyPass does not have a website associated with it. Okay. So that is just a file that's up to you to keep track of. So that's why we have your Dropbox password and your KeyPassX password. You have that both. Yes. So what I did is I ran this command for my home directory. If you want to see your file name, if you don't remember the name of your file, you can do, if you run an ls-ltr with tail, this will give you the last 10 most recently updated files. You'll still have I've already moved this one, but you'll have something like this in there, a .kdb. And then you'll run a move with your kdb file name and /dropbox/. Because you might move it, and it might be in the process of, you know, you're halfway through something. It's always safer to just be done with it. And then.
Right. Okay.
And then it's that command, if you look up highlighted on the screen up there, /dropbox. Oh, just click Dropbox. Okay, there you go, files. I would take a look on the website to make sure that your KDB is on the website. Big lesson for everyone, in Unix files, never put a space. Space characters are trouble in file names. You can do it, and I'm going to show him how to do it, but whenever you have a space, you're going to cause your life to be difficult forever after. File names with spaces are really trouble.